Today's shiur is Masechta Makos Daf Tazayin. We will begin on Daf Tazayin Amud Aleph at the end of the fourth line. At the end of our previous shiur, we had learned the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about hasra sofik. When somebody gives somebody hasra before they do an aveira, where it's not absolutely clear that there's going to be an aveira violated here. There's a machlokes of hasra sofik shma hasra. Is that considered a valid hasra? Well, hasra sofik loy shma hasra if it's not considered a valid hasra. The Gemara suggested that Reish Lakish's opinion is hasra sofik loy shma hasra, and Rabbi Yochanan held hasra sofik shma hasra. The Gemara had connected this to a machlokes that we have when somebody made a shvuah that he's going to eat a loaf of bread and he didn't eat it. Why won't he get malchus? One opinion holds, Reish Lakish said, because it's hasra sofik. Because every moment when you tell this individual you have to eat that loaf of bread, he still has time to eat it. And that's why it's hasra sofik. And Rabbi Yochanan said, because it's a lav she'ein b'maisa. He didn't say because of hasra sofik, presumably because he doesn't hold that hasra sofik lo shmo. Asra Safik, Loishma Asra. So says the Gemara that this machloikis that we're learning about this subject is Tavayo Alibud Rabbi Huda. The machloikis is connected to what Rabbi Huda taught us that regarding that the Torah says, as we're going to learn, when we have to eat up the Korban Pesach, and anything that's left over must be burnt. The Tanya the Brisa says regarding the Korban Pesach, it says, first, the Torah says that we're not allowed to leave over any of the Korban Pesach. And then the Torah says that if you do have any left over, it must be burned. So what the Torah is accomplishing with this is to say, because this becomes a lav hanitik lasei, that if you are over the lav of leaving over from the Korban Pesach, the way to correct it is by burning it. And as we learned in our previous year, what the Torah means to say is that somebody who does, when you have a nitik lav, the say comes to correct the lav. And what the say accomplishes is that you will now not be chayiv for the lav. Another explanation, as we gave in previous shurim, is because the Torah says that it has to be doima, that in order to get malchus, the paradigm for malchus is the lav of the chasima. If somebody is over the, if somebody muzzles an animal next to it, the Torah says the punishment of malchus. The reason the Torah puts the punishment of malchus over there is to teach us, the reason the Torah puts the punishment of malchus over there is to teach us that when it has those characteristics, that it's a lav, that involves, that's not a litik lasei, other halachos we learn as well, there's malchus. Otherwise, there's no malchus. So now, the question, the machlokes of Rechon and Reish Lakish is based on how to understand what Rabbi Yochanan meant to say. What Rabbi Yehuda meant to say. Rabbi Yochanan says, Tam de bar kosef, the what is the pasuk teaching us? That it's a lav hanitik asei. Halo bar kosef, were it not a lav hanitik asei, loikum. Even though it's not something that you give asra. Because what's the asra? You're going to tell this person, eat the Korban Pesach. It's asra sofik, because he has all night to eat it. Alma, obviously from here we see that hasra sofik, shma asra, that's not the issue. The reason the pasuk, what's the pasuk coming to teach us? That because it's a lav hanitik lasei, halo bar kosef, were there no mitzvahs to say loika? Why? Not because of asra sofik, because Reish Lakish is not bothered, says the Gemara, by the fact that the asra that can be given here is only asra sofik. What the issue here is that a lav she'ein b'maisa loika love. And this is a lav shei b'maisa, just leaving over It's not involving doing anything actively. Ask the Rish Lakish Nami Havad Asra Sofiku. At the end of the day, it is a Asra Sofik. So how could he say that Asra Sofik? How could he say that it's that Yichai, maybe what the Torah is teaching us is, ask the Gemara that Asra Sofik Lo Shema Sofik. Says the Gemara, that Rish Lakish held, it's Sofik Lo Kida Tani Devi Hudi. He holds like a different opinion that we find Rabbi Yehuda says. The Tanya, the Torah is that one is not allowed, of course, hit or curse a father. When there's a question between two individuals, who is this person's father? So the halacha is hikazev, achazev, hikazev. He first hit one of the men, and then he hit the other one. Kilazev, achazev, kilazev. If he cursed one, and then cursed the other one. So each act had his own hasra. So when you gave that hasra, it's hasra suffic. Because before you come to hit either of the men, we don't know who is the true father. Oy kill shnei basachos, hikas shnei basachos, he hit them both at the same time. And as Rashi explains, that it was, he hit each one at the same, he hit each one. The way Rashi here explains, that he did each act of hitting separately, but both were done within Toch Kedei Dibur of the Asra. In Masechta Yevamos, when we have this Gemara, Rashi says that Hikav Bas Achas means that he hit both of them exactly the same time. Presumably with one hand he hit one, or the other one he hit the other. I kill Hashem Bas Achas, where he cursed them both at the same time. The Halacha is Chayiv. So of course, Tosfos asked the question, if we just learned that if he hit one after the other, you're going to be chayiv, certainly if you hit both at the same time, you're going to be chayiv. So why is it necessary to say this halacha? So Tosfos says the reason it's mentioned is only because we're going to find Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and that's why we wanted, it was just a set up to teach us and present to us Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. B'darach L'ner says that no, that maybe, especially if we learn Peshat is, that both of them were hit at the exact same time, we would think that that is not really a legitimate act of hitting. When would it be considered a legitimate act of hitting? It would be considered a legitimate act of hitting when you're hitting each one individually. That's the way you normally hit people. But when you hit two people at the same time, an argument can be made that that's not really considered an act of hakah. And that's why, says Daruch Lener, it does represent a bigger chiddush. Yehuda disagrees. He says, "Bebas achas chayiv, if you did it at one time, you chayiv. B'zach hazeh, but was done one after the other, potter. Because each act is a suffix if it was the father that you hit. And therefore, each act of Asra, says Reish Lakish, teaches us Rabbi Yehuda in this Braisa, is Asra Sofik, because there were two totally separate acts. So we see from here, Rabbi Yehuda teaches us that Asra Sofik, Lo Shema Asra. And therefore, when we had the Braisa that we began the Shir with today, where we don't really know, said the Gemara, exactly how to learn Pshat in the Braisa, Reish Lakish says, we can't say that the Pshat in the Braisa is to tell us that Asra is Sofik, Shema Asra, because from here we see Rabbi Yehuda clearly doesn't hold that way. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan should say, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan learn from the Braisa that we began the Shiva today, that the Braisa by Noiser is clearly a case of Vade Lav Shem V'Maisa. So what, and the fact that you're not Chai Malkus, only because it's a lavanitic lase, isn't that clearly an indication that for lav, isn't that clearly an indication that lav shebe maisa, you get malchus? Because if lav shebe maisa, you don't get malchus, what do I need to say that it's a lavanitic lase? Says the Gemara, Savala, Rav Yochanan holds kiha, the Amr of Idibar Oven, Amr of Amram, Amr of Yitzchak, Amr of Yochanan, Rav Yudai Mishim, Rav Yosef Aglili, Kol lasa shebe Torah, any time you have a lav in the Torah, sheyesh b'maisa loikin alav, If it's a lav sheesh by maisa, you get malchus. Lav she'en nishba. Lav she'en by maisa. If it's a lav she'en by maisa, ain't loikin alav. Chutz, the only exception is hanishba. If somebody swears, or meimer, if somebody says that this, he substitutes an animal that was brought for the mizbeach, that there was a dent that was made hegdish for the mizbeach, and is qualified to be brought as a karma to mizbeach, where the Torah says lo yach lefenu v'lo yomer yisoy, and the Torah says v'imhami yomer behema behema v'ha'yahu smrasoy yur kodesh. Because, and this is not considered a lav hanitik lasei, because even though the Torah says v'hayuhum srasu yakaidish, says the Gemara Masech the Tumura, we have two lavin, layach lefenu v'lo yamir, and we only have one mitzvah lasei v'hayuhum srasu yakaidish. So even if we normally say that a lav hanitik lasei, you don't get malchus, that's what each lav has its own assay. Here, we don't have each lav having its own assay, so it's not a case of a lav hanitik lasei. But makala chaveri b'shem, if somebody uses a shem name to curse a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So since Rabbi Yochanan knew that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that lav shem emaisa ain't loikin alav, he couldn't learn from there. Says the Gemara, but asking what kasha Rabbi Yehuda, because. Let's understand, according to Rabbi Shlokish, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that taught from the Brisa Mak of Aviv, we see that Asra Sofik Loishma Asra. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Lash Emre Maisa Ein Loikin Alav, so then why do we need Noiser to be a Lav Shein by Maisa? It's anyway a Lav Anitik Lasei. Says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shlokish, the way to reconcile this is that we have to say Trei Tanoim Liv Rabbi Yehuda. There's Machloikas Tanoim, what Rabbi Yehuda held. The Tana that we began our shiur with, the Tana of the Braisa by Noiser, says that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is Asra Sofik Shema Asra. The Tana by the Braisa of Maka Aviv obviously holds that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Asra Sofik Lo Shema Asra. According to Rabbi Yochanan Loikasha, the way to reconcile it, the Braisa of Noiser is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda himself that a lav she'en b'maisa loikin alav, and the braisa that we just learned that indicates the lav she'en b'maisa we don't get malchus is something that was said in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Aglili, and that is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan as well. Rabbi Yehuda himself will hold lav she'en b'maisa loikin alav. So as we learned, we've been learning that Lav she'en by Rabbi Yochanan has taught us that a malchus is when by lav hanitik lasei will there be malchus? That will be in a case where the mitzvahs asei can no longer be fulfilled. The Torah in Parshas Kisetze teaches us the mitzvah of Shluch Hakan. The mitzvah of Shluch Hakan says ki kari kan tzipul afanechop, if you find a nest v're'em revetzes ala froichem ala bei, the mother of these eggs or these chicks is hovering over them. Don't take the mother. Rather, send away the mother. So we have a lav, not to take the mother. And there's a mitzvah to say to send away the mother. And the question is this considered a lav? The question that we need to discuss, is this considered a lav anitik lasei? Tanan hosam. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Chulin, Daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amar Aleph teaches us. Hanoitel Eim Al Bonim, so you certainly were over the lav. Rabbi Yudai Me Loike Venem Shaleach, you were over the lav, and there's no more mitzvah to say to do what the Torah says. It's a bonim tikachloch, because once you were over the lav, it's finished. The Chamar Mishaleach, you could correct it. You can make it into a lav hanitik lasei. And the Torah is making it a lav hanitik lasei to teach us that you don't get malchus. Zeh klal. And from here we learn, kol mitzvah asei sheyesh beikum v'asei, say the Rabbanon, that whenever there's a mitzvah asei attached to the lav, which could help us correct the lav, as we began the shiur today, ein chayovin l'ad, there's no malchus. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that said, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that said, that any lav hanetik lasei, you're not going to get malchus until you no longer can be mekayim the mitzvah lasei, that the way to understand it is when the Rabbanan say here that there's not going to be any malchus, it's because it's a lav hanetik lasei, that's only as long as you can fulfill the mitzvah lasei. But the fact that the Rabbanan said Zeklal, so it seems to they're comparing every case to this case. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but says Rabbi Yochanan that Ein Lano Elzois Vadecheres. There is only one lav, like the lav of Lekich Lesikach Emel Bonim, where you could be Mavatal Mitzvah Sasei. By all other lav Anitik Lasei, there's never going to be a case where it's going to be a situation that you have created an environment that you can never be Mekayim the mitzvah asay anymore. Because you always have the opportunity of being Mekayim the say. And therefore the Gemara will try to identify what does that mean. Where do we have only this, whereby taking by here you could create a situation that you won't be able to be mekayim the mitzvah say anymore? What's the other case? Amalei Rabbi Elazar, Heicha. Where do we find such a case? Amalei. So he said to him, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Elazar, Lekhi Tishkach, go find it yourself. Says the Noida Behuda. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan just answer the question? Because as we're going to see in our Gemara, that there are different opinions, what is the case? So you said, I could give you all the cases, but what I need you to do is to analyze what is the proper case, the Tanya. So we go back to what we learned in the previous Gemara. The Oina Shigirish, the Torah says that if somebody violates a woman, the Torah says, Lo Seal Isha, and so too does the Torah say, if somebody is Maitzi Shemra, but after the Torah says that Layuchal Shalchai, im Yisrael Hu, if it's Yisrael, it can be corrected. Machser, he can take her back. And therefore he wasn't the lav of Layuchal Shalcha is a lav that can be corrected. Then a like of him Kayin Hu, but if he's a Kayin Laika, he'll get Malchus, Veda Machser, as we explained in our previous year. Because the Torah Kedosha says that a Kohen cannot marry a Grusha, and therefore, since the Kohen can't be Machzor the Grusha, he can't marry back, so it's no law, therefore it's not a lav hanitik lasei. Says the Gemara. So now we have another example how one could be mevatel the mitzvah lasei. Says the Gemara, ha-nich l'man d'tani, according to Rish Lakish, that we learned before Kima V'loi Kaimai, that we give Malchus as soon as Bezdin wants him not to fulfill the Mitzvah Sasei. And if he doesn't fulfill the Mitzvah Sasei, he's going to get Malchus. So this is understandable. Here, the Bezdin tells him, you should not have divorced this woman. Now take her back. And if he doesn't take her back, that's why he'll be Chayiv Malchus. Eleman the Tamni Bitla V'loi Bitla. But according to the Mandama, the way to understand a lav hanetik lasei, you're only going to get Malchus when it's impossible to fulfill the mitzvah lasei. So by Shlomo, Gabi Shlucha Kan, by Shlucha Kan, we could understand how it could be corrected, and how it could be a situation where it can't be corrected. It could be corrected that if you send the mother away, but if somebody will kill the mother, so now we no longer have the opportunity to send the mother away. So that's why it's no longer a lav hanetik lasei. Ella, ba'oinus, in the case of the oinus bitla, v'lo bitla eicha mishkachas lo'i, what's going to be the case, how it's impossible that there should be a malchus, because you made it impossible to fulfill the mitzvah lasei. Idikatla, if he went and killed his first wife, and now you'll say, so since he killed her, he no longer obviously can marry her. But now we have a situation of Kemlev de Rabbanei. If this man killed the wife, so he's going to be Chayiv Misa for killing the wife. If he's going to be Chayiv Misa for killing, if he's going to be Chayiv Misa for killing the wife, so then there won't be any more Malkus, because we always say that Kimlei mid the Rabbanei. So Rabbi Akiva Eger asks, why can't the Gemara circumvent this problem of Kimlei the Rabbanei? We're saying, as we've discussed already in Masechta Sanhedrin, that if one Rachman Tzlan kills a victim who was a treifa, if this woman was a treifa, then the halacha is that he's not, that she, there's no Chiv Misa. If there's no Chiv Misa, there's no Kimlei Bid Rabbanei. In other words, if a man would violate a Nara Psula who's a treifa, and after marrying her, he divorces her, and he kills her, there won't be any Chiv Misa, since she is a treifa. As the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Ches Amar Alef, tells us that a treifa, the halacha views a treifa as a Gavra Ketila Kotel. The halacha views it as a dead person, and therefore it should be Malkus. So Rachi Ezer answers the question that even if we'll say that killing a treifa doesn't carry with it a chiv misa, Bezdin won't kill somebody who killed a treifa, but there's another halacha. He says the halacha is that if a murderer is a roidev, and since anyone observes somebody being a roidev, as we also learned in Masechta Sanhedrin, has a right to kill that person, even if the victim that's being chased is a treifa, there's still, he's allowed to be killed by, he's allowed to be killed by other people who see him doing this. So it turns out that this husband who is killing his wife, who is indeed a treifa, who he originally violated, he's Chayiv Misa as a roidev. And therefore, that's why if he's Chayiv Misa as a roidev, we don't say Kimlei de Rabbanei. Another explanation that the Imre Tzvi suggests is that if he kills her, so yes, Bezdin won't give Misa. Bezdin won't give Misa in such a case because she was a treifa. But the halacha of Goyel Hadam is still applicable. And the halacha of Goyel Adam says that her family is allowed to kill him. That's why he's Chayiv Misa from the Goyel Hadam. Another pshat that I was thinking is that the Gemara often discusses, do we say Kimlei Bid Rabbanei when somebody did an Aveira B'Shoigig? So even though he did the Aveira B'Shoigig and he's not going to be killed, because Chayiv Misa Shoigig, the Gemara quotes the Tana de Bechizkia very often in Shas, so there's no Chayiv Misa, because what he did B'Shoigig. But since he did an Aveira, which potentially carries with it a Chayiv Misa, it's enough to say Kimlei Bid Rabbanei. If that's the way we're going to learn, we have an easy way to learn Pshat and Al Gemara. The way we're going to learn Pshat and Al Gemara is that this person, what he did was, even though he killed a treifa, and even though Bezdin can't kill him, because Bezdin doesn't kill if somebody kills a treifa, he's no worse than somebody who did a Aveir B'Shoigig, that we still apply the concept of Kimlei Bid Rabbanei, says the Gemara. So we're back to trying to understand what would be the case that if somebody divorced a woman who he was ma'anis, how will it be that it will no longer be able to fulfill the mitzvah asay? Amrav simi b'chuzna, the case will be k'gayin shekibul ha'kedusha ma'achin. He was the one that accepted on her behalf a kedushin for somebody else. Says the Gemara, let's analyze this. Amrav, isha v'isa shliach, if his former wife asked him to accept kedushin on her behalf for somebody else, so then iyka mevatalei, it was she that was mevatalit. And even if he helped, because he was the one that did the actual act of kedushin, explains the Ritva, but it's primarily her. And therefore, since she did it, why would it be considered that he was mevatal the mitzvah to say? And if he was Makabal Kedushin on her behalf without her appointing him, so would that Kedushin have any validity? Kol Kmine? Does that Kedushin have any validity? The halacha is that Lav Klumu, somebody can't accept Kedushin for a woman unless he was appointed for that position. And as the Aruch Haner explains, her appointing him for a shliach, what does that mean when she's appointing him for a shliach? What it means when she's appointing him for a shliach means that I want to be married, I don't want to be married to you. I want to be married to someone else. And even though we're learning that he has to marry her, v'loisi elisha, the din of v'loisi elisha was only said in a case where she wants to be married to him. If she doesn't want to be married to him, so then the halacha will be that she doesn't have to be married to him. And she obviously here is not obviously interested in marrying him if she appointed him as a shliach to marry someone else. Ella Amar of Simi Bado, what's the case? Shadira Barabim. He made a nether that he cannot benefit from her, and therefore he can now not marry her. So he was Mavatal the Mitzvah Sasei. Ask the Gemara. Hanich Lamandam, according to the opinion, in Masech the Gittin, Daf Lamed Hey Omer Aleph, the nether should have a rabbin, the nether that was made in front of 10 people. Ein lo yafara can never be annulled, understandable. El mandama yesh lo yafara, according to the mandama, that even such a nether has a fara, mayik lamemer, how will we be able to understand the Gemara? Answers the Gemara, the Madira al das rabbin, that the way the nether was formulated, Adas Rabbim. That the Allah is Dama Meimer, Hilchasop, Nether should have a Rabbim. If a Nether was made in front of 10 people, Yesh Layafara. But Adas Rabbim, Ein Layafara. And he was the one that made the Nether. And because he was the one that made the Nether, so that's why he, by making this Nether that cannot be revoked, he's the one that was Mevatel, the Mitzvah say. The Sefer Magala Amukus in Parshat Vaschanan explains, based on this, the conversation, the dialogue that we had between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Shvuah that Moshe Rabbeinu will not enter Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Atach Elois Laharis Es Avdecha. He was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, already began to nullify the Shvuah that you had made that by Moshe Rabbeinu, by the Maisa Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zechol Avram Litzu Yisrael Avadecha Shenesh Batul Hanbach, that at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made a shvu to destroy Klai Yisrael, and then he changed his mind. To which, here too, Moshe Rabbeinu was requesting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to retract, to revoke the shvu. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ravlach. There, in that case, I was unable to go back on the shvua. This is a shvua that I can't go back on because I made that shvua to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yisrael that I would give them at Yisrael, and I can't go back on that shvua. But by you, I made the shvua just to you, so it's not a das rabim. And since it's a nether that's not al das rabim, then I can't go back on the shvua. The sulaka veika, I don't have the problem that I'm stuck with the shvua. The sulaka veika sima gezla mashkin peya. Are there no other lava nitik lasays that you can be mevatel to say? Gezel. The Rachmana Omer, the Torah says lois sigzel. The Torah, of course, tells us we may not steal. But the Torah also says veheshiv is exela. Or mashkin. The Rachmana says loisava beisa lava elevaitai. The person can't take a mashkin security from the person who borrowed from him without his permission. And the Torah says, but if you did so, so you have to return it. And this is a law of Nitik Lasei where we can have a case of Kimeloi Kemai, when Bezdin tells him, return what you stole, return the Mashkin, or Bitloi or Bitloi. If somebody destroys the Mashkin, or somebody destroys what was stolen, then they won't be able to be returned, says the Gemara. You're right. It is possible to make that the essay can never be fulfilled anymore. But the reason that the person won't get Malkus is a whole new explanation. Hosam, kivin de chayiv b'tashlumim, since this person is going to be chayiv tashlumim, he's going to have to pay for the mashkin, he's going to have to pay for what he stole, that's why ein loikim mishalim. Says the Gemara, but I'm going to come up with an example, ask the Gemara, where he won't have to pay for what he stole. Maskavla, says the Gemara, maskavla Rav Zeira, ha ikka mashkin shel ger. If somebody took a mashkin from a ger, and as the Gemara often says in Shas, the ger is the only person in Klal Yisrael who could possibly not have any relatives. Because Gershon's guy could cut the shnoil dummy. If he became a ger and he had no children after he became a ger, he has no relatives. So hosam, so he's not going to have to pay because there's no one to pay. And therefore, we won't be able to say, well, he'll pay and that's why he won't get Malkus. So the Gemara is suggesting that if somebody stole something from a ger and then destroyed it so it can't be returned, even if the ger passed away, so there's nobody to return what he stole to, so he'll get Malkus because it's no longer being able to fulfill the mitzvah say, and there's no tashlumim. Answers the Gemara, that's not true. There is an obligation to pay. Gavra bat tashlumim hi. There is an obligation to pay. It's just shibuda de ger hukapaka. There's just nobody to actually fulfill that obligation. But that doesn't mean that there's no obligation. And since the obligation exists, he won't get Malkus. But ask the Gemara, there's another example where the Gemara suggests that you could have a lav hanitik lasei, that you should not be able to ever to be mevatel the mitzvah lasei and then get Malkus. Ve'kapeya. The Rachmana amar lo'schala pasatcha b'kitzrecha. We're not allowed to take off the pay of the corner of the field. The corner of the field has to be left for the aniyim. And if he did so, if he did take what he wasn't, the Torah says lo'oni lo'ge'a tazavasam. And it's possible that if Bezdin told him, make sure to give the payah, and if he refuses, so that's called that he didn't, now he's not doing the mitzvah, say, according to that opinion. And even the mandam that says, Rabbi Yochanan, who says, bitloy, it's possible to come to a situation where you will never be able to be makayim the mitzvah, say, because the Brisa teaches us, mitzvah payah, the tanya, the proper way of fulfilling the mitzvah payah is lavish menakama, to leave over when we have still the stalks in the field. Loi hefresh min hakama, if one did not take it off that way, mafresh min ha'ayrim, he takes off from where it was cut. Loi hefresh min ha'ayrim, if he didn't take it at that time, mafresh min ha'kri at shlei merach, you could take it off till miruach, of the grain. There's a machloikus, what is the definition of miruach? The posh pshat of miruach is that they smooth out the top of the basket in which it's put. Another pshat is that they take out all the impurities. Mirchai, if that was done already, meiser. So this person first has to take off meiser, because once there's miruach, there's a chiv meiser. That means, Rashi explains, under normal circumstances, the produce that was designated as payah, there's no chiv for the owner to take off the trumas and maisris. It's like hefker. There's no chiv. But here, it already came to the point of miruach, so the owner will have to take off the maisris. But then, noisun loy, he'll give him the rest. He'll give the payah. So it's correctable. Answers the Gemara. Says the Gemara, but once you ground it into flour, the Gemara says, then there's no chiv payah anymore. And the Gemara is, and the reason why I explained the Rishonim, because once you ground it into flour, it became yours through an act of shinui, of changing it from grain into flour. And therefore, there's no chiyapeya. And that's what the Gemara is suggesting is going to be a way how you can no longer mimakayim, the mitzvah asay of peya. It's no longer a lav anitik lasay, because the asay is no longer fulfillable. And that's why you should get Malkus. Answers the Gemara, this is not a good example. Could it be Shmuel Dama Afrash Shmuel Isa? The Shmuel's opinion is that even if you turn the payah already into a dough, you could still take off payah. Says the Gemara, but Rabbi Shmuel, Nami Mishkachsla. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, there'll be a case where even if you already made it into a dough,
you could still no longer give pay. You already ate it up. Once you ate it, there's nothing to give to the ani. So the question is, why isn't pay listed as an example where you have a lava nitikla say that there's going to be a certain point that you can't fulfill that say anymore? Ella, says the Gemara, when Rabbi Yochanan said Zois Vayda Cheres, Rabbi Yochanan said earlier in our shir that there's going to be a case where we can no longer fulfill the mitzvah asay, which we said is going to be referring to peya. Aval, the case of oinus will not be the example. That means that certainly of noital aim abonim, that we said is a case that everybody agrees where you could be mevatel the mitzvah asay by killing the mother. The Gemara assumed that oinus is such an example as well. Says the Gemara, because what do we say? That how was he mevatel that say of being able to marry her? Because he made a nether that I can't marry you, and he made the nether in a form that it's a nether that can't be revoked. Says the Gemara, that's only when it's a dvar shus. When you made the nether of something that was optional. But here, that the nether contradicted a mitzvah, where you're supposed to marry her, be married to her, even though you made the rabbim, the nether al das rabbim, that nether, even though it was made al das rabbim, yesh loy hafora, it can be revoked. And therefore, it's not considered that you were mevatel the mitzvah to say. You have the ability to remarry her and just by first revoking the nether. Where do we find this concept? Says the Marduk, who the Humekridardiki? There was a Rebbe who taught Talmidim, Dava Pasha Biyanuke, and he was acting inappropriately. He used to hit the students more than any halachic, more than you're allowed to. Says the Gemara, Adri Ravacha, Rav Acha made a neder, al das rabbim, that he may no longer be a Rebbe. The Hadri Ravina, and then Ravina went and revoked the neder. There was nobody that was as good as him in being a Rebbe for the Talmidim. So we see that when it's for Dvar Mitzvah, we're allowed to revoke the nether. And that's why over here, it's not considered that he did something that is Mevatel, the Mitzvah to say, because he could change that. It could be changed by, since it's needed for a Mitzvah, the nether could be revoked. The Torah Kedoshah says that Moshe Rabbeinu, as he was leaving the world, Moshe Rabbeinu pronounces, "V'yom aleim ben meva esrim shana noicha yoim lo uchal oid lotzes v'lovay." Rashi explains, "Melamed shenistu memena mayis b'manas hachokma." Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer on that level of Talmud Chacham that he originally was. So the Sefer Kilos Yaakov explains, why was it necessary that before Moshe Rabbeinu left the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do so? So he explains it's based on our Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made a shvua, as we mentioned earlier in our shir, that Moshe Rabbeinu will not come into Eretz Yisrael. But if Moshe Rabbeinu had retained his level of learning, he would have been like this Rebbe. He would have been like this Rebbe, that the Rebbe who made, they made a nether that he can't be a Rebbe anymore, but if you need him, you could revoke it. So if Moshe would have still been on that level, then Moshe Rabbeinu also, the Kadosh Baruch Hu would have a reason that he could revoke the nether. So what happened? Nistu memenu minus hachokma. He no longer was on that level. If he no longer was on that level, so now the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a tzorich rabbim. It's not that he's needed. And that's why the shvuah stood. We learned in Mishnah Oichel, Neveil, Trefus, Scots and Ramoshim get Malkus. So says the Mar Omer of Yehuda, Hai man dochel benisa de bekurba, de bekarba. If somebody ate a worm that's in cabbage, Malkinale, he gets Malkus from Sheretz HaSheretz al Oretz. He gets Malkus because for violating the law of Sheretz HaSheretz al Oretz. And says the Gemara, indeed, Hahu de ichel de benosa de karba, somebody ate a worm that was found in the cabbage. For Nagdi Rabbi Yehuda, for doing this Aveira, he got Malkus. When we speak about cabbage or anything there is a halacha, the number of halacha. The halacha is that if you have the worm that formed in whatever we're speaking about, as long as it was attached to the ground, that worm we may not eat, because that's called sheretz hasheretz al aretz. Because if the cabbage, the fruit, the vegetable is attached to the ground and the worm is in it, and if it's within that fruit or vegetable, it's creeping on the ground. But if it's not attached to the ground and it's never exited the actual cabbage, for example, that wouldn't be hasheretz hasheretz al aretz. So therefore, whenever we have such a vegetable, let's again speak about cabbage, and we see a worm in the cabbage, as the pre-Megadim points out, we have to know when did the worms typically come? Do the worms typically come when they're still attached to the ground, to the tree, and it would be usur? Or is it something that normally only comes after it's detached? And if it only comes after it's detached, then the halacha will be that it wouldn't be a sheretz, a sheretz laretz. And if there's a way of identifying when it came, then it would be a nafkamina. If it's formed when it's connected, it would be usur. Otherwise, it would be mutter. But then there's another consideration. The other consideration is even if we know that these worms only form after they're detached from the ground, when we see this worm, we have to know, was the worm formed within that fruit, within that cabbage? And therefore, it never exited the cabbage. And therefore, it wouldn't be sheretz hasheretz al aretz. Or did it form after, or did it come from outside and go into the cabbage? If it came from outside into the cabbage, then again it will be sheretz hasheretz al aretz. So that means when we have a cabbage and we have a worm, there are two reasons to say that the worm is usur. Either because the worm formed when it was still attached, or because the worm came from outside the cabbage. And there's one reason to be lenient, only if we know that the worm formed in the cabbage and after it was detached from the ground. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Ocha Petisa, if somebody ate a sheretz amayim, something that is crawls in the water, loika, you're going to get for that arba lavin. There's four times malchus for that. Two for the regular lav of sheretz. The Torah says, atashaksus neshoseichem b'chol sheretz ha-sheretz. And then there's another lav that says, v'loisesamu b'hem. And then, because this creeps on the water, there are two more lavin. B'chol sheretz ha-mayim, sheketz yulachem, b'psarim loisechelu. And another lav, v'chol she'en loisnapim v'kaskeses, loisechelu. Namala, if somebody eats an ant, like a chamish. Three, mishum sheretz ha'oretz al-aretz. Two, because regular sheretz. And three more, for being a sheretz ha'sheretz al-aretz. The Torah says, kol ha'sheretz ha'sheretz al-aretz, sheretz hu lo'yoichel. The Torah says, kol ha'sheretz ha'sheretz al-aretz lo'yoichelum. The Torah says, lo'yishasamas nafshaseichem, b'chol sheretz ha'roimus al-aretz. Sira, if you eat a bee, like a sheish, there's sheretz ha'aretz, and also it's sheretz ha'oif. And the Torah adds another lav for sheretz ha'oif, because sheretz ha'oif tamal ulachem lo yechelu, you'll have a total of six. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Achai, Hamashes Nekovav, somebody who holds himself back from needing the bathroom, from using the bathroom, both for urination or for eliminating waste. There's a lav that a person is not allowed to do anything that causes him to be unclean. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that if somebody holds himself back from passing gas, then you're not over the lav. And the Mishnah Berurah also adds that if somebody holds himself back from urinating, besides the lav of Leshesakshus Nafshesechem, he's also over the lav of lahayir ochr, lahayir b'cha ochr. Because by holding yourself back from urinating when you need to, that could cause that a person should become Rachman, a person should Rachman and Slan become sterile. There's a machloikus rishonim. This lav that the Gemara just now identified, is it an issa derabanan or is it an issa deraisa? The Ritva and the Meiri are of the opinion that it's an issa derabanan. The pasuk that's being quoted is only a smakta, but the smag and the smack are of the opinion that it's an issa deraisa. Amar Abibi Barabaya, high man the shosti bekarna the umna. If somebody drinks out of something that they use to let blood, so obviously it's something that's very disgusting. Again, that is again an example of violating the law of loisa shaksu. And here too, there's a machlokes rishonim if this is issa deraisa, issa derabanan. It's very much connected to the machlokes that we mentioned a moment ago. There's an interesting question. If somebody, for example, used something which is really repulsive, but the question is, how do we identify it as being repulsive? Is it subjective that we look at every individual? If it's repulsive to you, so you're over the slav, but if it's not repulsive to you, even though it's repulsive to others, or do we look at what it is to most people? The Prichadish is of the opinion that we follow what each person individually. The Prima Gaudim says that it's only that we follow what is generally considered repulsive. But even the Prima Gaudim says actually that even the Prichadish will agree that who says it's subjective, and we look at what's repulsive to you, not what's repulsive to everyone else. But if you're going to be using it in a public setting, let's say you're going to take oil in which a rat fell into, and let's say for you it's not repulsive, but it's repulsive to most people, so you cannot use that oil in a shul to light the candles with that oil, because since you're doing it on behalf of a rabbin, we look at the rabbin, even according to the Prichadish. Says the one Amar Rav Barav Huna, Risek Tisha Nemolim. We learned in our Mishnah that there's a concept of a barrier. A barrier is a whole item. If you took a barrier and you ground it, and now you bring one live, and now I have a kazayis, loikashesh. Then you'll get five malchus feeding that ant. Chamesh mishum barrier. You'll get the same five malchus that you always get when you eat an amala, as we saw a minute ago. And then you'll get one more because of kazayis nevela, because the namala died now. So now I have a kazayis of this amount of ant, and that's a nevela. And I ate, if you eat of a kazayis of a dead living thing, you're over for eating a nevela. Rava Amar Rabbi Yochanan, afilu shnayim v'hu. If you ate two ground namalim and one live one, and it accumulates to kazayis, then it would be the same halacha. Rav Yosef mafil echvahu loy bepligi, and says the Gemara, there's really no machlokes here. Haba ravri haba zutri. When you have big ants, then if you have big ants, you don't need that many to achieve a kazayis. When you have small ants, you have to have more ants to achieve the kazayis. So of course the question is, what is the Gemara teaching us? The question is that what could serve, when can we, so the Ritva says there's really no chiddush. The Ritva says that the Gemara is coming to teach us that sometimes you need nine to be mashlim kazayis, sometimes you need two to be mashlim kazayis, and sometimes even one to be mashlim kazayis. That's the way Ritva says. There are other Rishonim, however, want to suggest that if you have a situation of one and one, can one be mashlim the other? And that the first opinion holds that in order for it to be mashlim, one and one or two and one would not be enough to be able to say that that's where we achieve a kazayis.